Good evening, and welcome to another program of A Closer Look. I'm your host, Laurie Hackett, and we're back together again here at the WDIY studio tonight, talking about community, collaboration, and the great things happening in the Valley. So I'm really excited to introduce my first guest tonight, and it's Maggie Riley, and Maggie is the Director of Asset Management at City Center. Welcome, Maggie.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, I just want to just jump in with you and talk about the business where you're involved, City Center. How does City Center create places and spaces where people want to gather and connect and live? Like, what's the magic behind all of the great work of the company?
Oh, that's a good question. Part of our mission statement is to create places that people want to be. So it's, I don't know if you knew that already.
I did not.
which is more than building buildings. Yep. So I appreciate that you kind of recognize that because that is really what we aim to do. And I think it's really about just being really intentional about the types of places that we are building. So whether it's an office building or a residential building, you know, we try to take into account the community in which we are building it, what the community needs and wants, and that includes everything from the types of spaces, the types of community spaces that we put in buildings, to the actual architecture of them. And then the other thing we try to do is we have, on an ongoing basis, as part of our kind of property management, we place a lot of emphasis on bringing people together by doing, you know, events, connecting people. Sometimes we're involved. Sometimes we just try to spur it a little bit organically. But that's a big part of kind of how we approach our management of the assets once they're built, too.
I love that you said that because certainly your big projects every day, there's so many moving parts, which requires a lot of internal collaboration. But I know you also, to a person at the company, step out and do community collaboration. Why do you think that works so well?
I think when we create buildings, it's all about the community in which you are operating. It's, you know, we've had places where people live, work, and play. The places that we build and the people that we serve through those buildings, they have to reflect the community to be successful. So that, yeah, that carries us to a whole lot of different places within the community. And partnership is obviously a really important part of that with a whole bunch of different stakeholders.
Mm-hmm. And so, Maggie, I know that Allentown is certainly the home base for City Center, but you're doing so much throughout the Valley. But let's talk about Allentown. I know recently you gave me and some of my colleagues a wonderful tour of the new Archer Music Hall and the beautiful hotel next door. I just was so moved. You just said it, like the work that you do really reflects the neighborhood where you are in the city. Could you just share with our listeners a little bit about that cool project?
Yeah. So we did two projects last year that we were really excited about. The first was the Archer Music Hall, which, you know, we built it, but Live Nation, you know, signed a long-term lease with us. And so they operate it. It's really their business. But that project we did for a reason. We wanted to bring more people downtown, more nights of the week. It's a 2,000 seat venue. So by nature, they're doing a lot of events each week, a little bit smaller than something like the PPL Center, but also more often, which we kind of just love that as a nice complement to what was already going on downtown. And then the Moxie Hotel is a hotel, but it has, you know, a great first floor with a bar and some outdoor space. And so it's a great complement kind of to the street level. But we were really excited about both those two projects. They are in what we call Downtown West, which is sort of between 8th and 10th streets on Hamilton. And they help just build that kind of entertainment and residential district. We have a bunch of apartment buildings there, but they kind of help bring that whole area together. And I think they've been doing great. People are really enjoying them, and we're hearing good feedback. So,
and could you tell our listeners a little bit about what's so cool in the lobby of the Moxie Hotel?
So Moxies are are a unique kind of brand. They're, you know, meant for kind of like photographable moments. There's a tiger in the lobby. It has a bit of a circus theme, which all of them have like kind of a unique theme, but they drew from the history of the area. So like Dorney Park and the arts districts that have been in Allentown, the really strong art scene that has been in Allentown for, you know, many, many decades. So they kind of drew on that inspiration to create this really cool and very unique theme. And so it's just not like any other place you will enter in the Lehigh Valley, I think.
I can attest to that. So if somebody listening, if you haven't seen it yet, next time you're downtown, go into the lobby of the Moxie. It's so cool. So along with your work and your commitment certainly through work, I know you recently joined the board of the United Way of the Greater Lehigh Valley. Love to hear about why you made that choice and why that organization.
Yeah, so, you know, giving back, I think, has always been a big part of, you know, City Center. We're doing a downtown revitalization. And as part of that, we want to see the area revitalized and make sure that, you know, the community benefits from everything that's going on. And we give back as part of that. And, you know, we have a lot of support of the arts and other and just and everything, community in that area. So I think in general, that's, you know, been a big priority. And for me personally, you know, I've been very lucky in my life, had a great education, you know, great stability, great family growing up. So I have a lot of appreciation for that, and mm-hmm. I really want to give back. So when I got the opportunity to join the United Way board, I was just really excited. I mean, they do a lot of really wonderful work in the Lehigh Valley. And even, you know, once I've started serving on the board, it was great to kind of get this, like, behind the scenes look at mm-hmm. what they're doing. And what I found is that they're a leader in, you know, nonprofit work in the Lehigh Valley. They bring organizations together, but they're also helping solve complex problems, which is unique. Every nonprofit is, you know, trying to do that for sure. But I've just seen that their approach is different. You know, they're taking this, like, holistic approach to problems that may have, you know, five different components, and they're trying to kind of solve them together, with some of it doing internally, but some of it bringing the right groups together. And I think we're just lucky in the Lehigh Valley to have an organization mm-hmm. that is serving that need, because I think you can have all the money in the world. If somebody's not really coaching how to use it, it just won't go as far and you won't see the benefit.
Exactly. That's so perfect. And somebody on this program once said, like, United Way are the experts in so many areas. Like, I don't need to be, because I can rely mm-hmm. on them and their research and their statistics and what they know about community development, what they know about families. And we can just step up and help in other ways, mm-hmm. but we can go to them with great reliance. That's great. So you, as an executive at City Center and now a leader with United Way, were there other women in your life that provided you support or showed you the way as an example of service and giving back?
My parents, so my mom and my dad, this has been important to them. You know, I've watched my mom be a part of a lot of organizations mm-hmm. and just make a lot of impact in the community. And just, you know, I've seen, you know, for both of them, you know, what they care about and then what they kind of try to do with that to create a benefit and impact in community. And, you know, when I came back, I've been back in the Lehigh Valley now for about 4 years.
Okay.
I was in New York City before. So it's been nice. You know, I'm, like, kind of relearning about what's right. here. But we both know Jill Wheeler. But she was another person who really kind of, you know, when I came back, just kind of helped show me what was going on in the yes. Lehigh Valley. She's been involved, obviously, with United Way and now works there.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, she's, like, another person that I've really has really helped kind of to help define, you know, how I look
right,
at things.
Right.
So.
Oh, it's so wonderful to have that. And I'm sure, I mean, I know you have a young family, but I know as you continue in your career and in community, you're going to certainly do that for others.
I hope so.
Absolutely. And I love, you know, I was trying to think, how long is it that you've been back? Because I've known you since you've come back. What have you recognized about the Lehigh Valley? You grew up here, you went away to D.C. to college, live in New York, and then you came back. So I'd love to hear what your reaction, what your insight was upon returning.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of things about the Lehigh Valley have changed. I mean, it's grown since mm-hmm. I was gone for 12 years in total. And, you know, I was a kid before, so I wasn't
right.
picking up
doesn't
on certain
count.
Things.
It doesn't count, yeah.
But it's grown a lot.
Right.
But I think, you know, the one thing I've really enjoyed being back in the Lehigh Valley is, you know, there's such a sense of, like, community here,
mm-hmm.
Which you just don't have right. in a big city, at least not the way I was interacting mm-hmm. with it. But, you know, you come back here and you start to see the same people at events and in your work, in your personal life. And I just think that's a really special thing. And you start to feel like you're really aligned with just the people around you
mm-hmm.
in a way I hadn't experienced before. So I think that's just one of the benefits to, like, kind of making your life working here is just that feeling mm-hmm. that you can get.
Absolutely. When you think about the nonprofit community and the leaders of the nonprofit, we were just talking about Margaret McConnell, who is the leader here at WDIY. What have you learned from them? Marcy Lesko, Tony Ainelli, I know you're involved with the Chamber and other organizations where you've been involved. What do you think it takes to be a very successful nonprofit leader in this Lehigh Valley?
The people you mentioned that I've interacted with, I've just found them to be very impressive people. You know, they really know the issues. They like kind of live and breathe them. Mm-hmm. That's what it kind of takes to solve really complicated problems. And I think, you know, in business or something, you know, which is where more of my experience lies, that's kind of how you have to do it. And I think a lot of those leaders, I feel like they approach it the same way. Like they completely live and breathe that problem or whatever. And that helps them to be successful.
Yes. And a follow-up to that, Maggie. Are there things that you have learned through your professional career that you are taking out to your work as a volunteer? And on the same, are there things you've learned as a volunteer with United Way and Days of Caring that you're bringing back to your work?
Yes to both, 100%. I mean, I think, for example, at United Way, I'm on the finance committee, which is where so maybe boring to most people, but I do try to kind of help where my skill set may lie.
I never get asked to join the finance committee. So.
But yeah, I hope that I can use the skills I've kind of had in my business life to sort of bring to the nonprofit side. I'm doing something separate, but some work with the Lehigh Valley Community Foundation on impact investing, which is just another way to try to expand giving. Great. By giving like low interest loans to nonprofits. And so I love that, just seeing how I can maybe bring my professional experience to just different types of nonprofit work. But 100% the other direction, too. I mean, I think, you know, being, you know, more in the nonprofit world, you know, just helps you get a recognition, which I think is important. I'm really happy I have it, and I have certainly more to learn. But of like what some people are going through in the world, that's not been my experience. But it's important to know what people are really dealing with, and it does help in your work. I mean, it helps you just be more aware of what's going on, which is always important. And in some cases, it can maybe change your view on something or change your strategy. Or open up your mind. I mean, it helps certainly with how we deal with our own charitable giving and things like that. But I think it also just helps in how we, you know, deal with our business too.
Oh, thanks for that. When you then think about the reasons you got involved or the reason maybe you and Josh decide together where to support in the Valley, I'm sure there's decisions, you know, that you all talk about. So what advice would you give to others who are considering getting involved, whether that's showing up as a volunteer, giving some time, sharing their talent or their resources? What advice would you have for people who are thinking of getting involved and engaged?
So one thing I loved is I love United Way's Day of Caring, where you actually get to go and volunteer. I always find it to be a very moving day because you know that like thousands of people have decided to get up one day in the Lehigh Valley and all volunteer on the same day. But I think it can also, if you have an interest in a couple of organizations, like finding a way to get involved. And I think there's a lot of volunteer opportunities throughout the year. So that's, I just name one. But going and seeing places in person is oftentimes a really great, that's the way, one way I've felt that I've been able to help make some decisions around my own charitable giving, you know, walking through the halls of a school or a childcare facility or whatever it is, a shelter. It just kind of helps convey what really is going on in some of these nonprofits and the good work that they're doing. So that's like a great way to get started because obviously it's wonderful to volunteer and that those hours are so needed. But it also gives you great information, you know, to help you make your decision.
Oh, love it.
It's kind of like anything. Showing up is like half the, you know, in work too. It's, you know, half of it is showing up.
Exactly. I love it. Well, Maggie, we are at the end of our program, but I have a final question for you. Back to City Center. City Center has done so much for the Lehigh Valley, starting in Allentown and Easton, and just the footprint, the impact is incredible. What kind of legacy do you hope the work of City Center leaves on the Lehigh Valley?
At the end of the day, I hope that, you know, its legacy is just, you know, making a positive change in the communities in which we operate. I think especially Allentown, just because the whole nature of that project is a revitalization. even if we just look at the housing part, you know, housing is a big topic right now. There's not enough places to live. But I hope that at the end of the day, people will see that there's a lot of good things that have come out of, you know, what we've done. And I do hope that we continue to give back and that overall, you know, that legacy will just lead to a positive mark on the Lehigh Valley.
Yep. Perfect. Well said. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Sure. So listeners, we were just joined by Maggie Riley, and Maggie is the Director of Asset Management for City Center, but also she's a board member for United Way of the Greater Lehigh Valley and engaged in so many other ways. Thanks for listening to this part of our program, and we'll be right back.
Tune up your week with a great variety of jazz music on WDIY, Monday through Friday nights from 9 to 11, offers many choices from the world of jazz, featuring traditional to modern styles, plus Swing Sunday at 5 p.m. and improvisational jazz on the bridge Sunday nights at 10 p.m. Listen for new releases, interviews with artists, and information on upcoming performances right here on WDIY.
Welcome back to A Closer Look. We just had a wonderful conversation with Maggie Riley from City Center. And now joining us in the studio are friends from Bethlehem Catholic High School. So listeners, I'm really excited to introduce you to Dr. Dean Donaher, who's the principal of BECA. Welcome, Dean.
Hi, Laurie. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thrilled about it. We were just saying we have been friends for a really long time. Longer than the age of some people in this room. But also our guest is, listeners, please join me in welcoming Emery Oberholzer. And Emery is a senior at BECA. Welcome, Emery.
Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
Sure. So when Dr. Donaher said, hey, do you want to come on a radio show, you said?
Absolutely. Okay. It'd be a pleasure to
All
do
right.
this.
And Emery, just a little bit about you as we get started. You're a senior at BECA. You're headed off to West Virginia. Congratulations. I know you have an Army ROTC scholarship, which is really exciting. What made you decide to do the Army through ROTC?
Really, one thing about me my entire life has been leadership. I played three sports growing up, and I've met a lot of people and learned how to be a leader in these sports and build camaraderie. There's no better way to do that than be in the military and build a relationship like that.
Oh, that's wonderful. And I think just the commitment to service, it sounds like it's been something in your heart forever, and it's going to continue into your professional career.
Absolutely. My brother and sister both do it, so we've really been emphasizing the importance of leadership.
That's wonderful. Great to hear. Dean, you've been an educator for a long time. What continues to inspire you to work with young people?
Just a person like Emery.
Okay.
Seeing people like Emery, young men, young women, who every day come to school, not for their personal gain, but really to do make the community better, to do something, present good in the world. I think that's just, that inspires me every day. It's my why. For getting up in the morning and going to work, because it is an honor and a privilege and a blessing to be around young people like Emery every day.
What is something that you think most people don't appreciate enough about high school students?
I think the one thing they probably don't appreciate because they don't see them is their commitment. I think a lot of times youth get a bad rap because they're, you know, all these on social media, and they only care about themselves, the me generation, as we always heard about. And I see anything but that from our kids today. And I think it's really a testament to the families that they're coming from, because the family unit is so important in the development of young folks that it's something that we really need to get back to and focus on. But they inspire me every day.
I love that. Love that. And Emery, what is something about the Bethlehem Catholic community that you really value?
BECA always provides opportunity to involve yourself in service, whether it's altar serving or even being involved in sports. You can always volunteer at the youth camps and teach young kids how to develop their skills. That's something that's always been a big part of their what they do, is always providing opportunity.
Is there a specific example you could share of maybe a time when you were volunteering that really, really, really stuck with you?
Right. Over February, over the winter, there was a Kairos retreat. So Kairos is a retreat that we do. You get away for a couple of days in Philadelphia. And they asked me to be a leader at this retreat. And I volunteered at it. I had a great time at it. And it stuck with me, that camaraderie we built with my classmates and everything, you know, strengthening our relationship with God as well as each other.
Oh, that's fantastic. And Dean, what are some things that you've seen in students? You talked about what other people you know, maybe don't appreciate. Is there something from your career as an educator that you see in students that every day you're surprised about?
Again, their desire to grow, their desire to be better than what they are, their desire to learn from the folks around them, not only their teachers, but I think kids learn from one another. Mm-hmm. And we see that too, where to be around Emory and his leadership, that's the first thing I noticed when I was a first-year principal at Becca. He was a freshman going into his sophomore year, and I saw this young man at a football scrimmage running around and telling everybody what to do and how to do it. And I thought he was a senior. And when I first said to his, I said his number to somebody because I didn't know who they were. His commitment to just being there for his friends, to be there to support them in whatever way possible, whether it's emotionally, whether it's academically by being a peer tutor, whether it's being an example, being an altar server and showing people his relationship with God, whatever it is that Emory can do, doesn't matter the avenue.
Right. Love that. Dean, you have been a leader and certainly an educator for your entire career. I know you got your doctorate from Penn. Like, this is, education has been your passion, and I know that because we're friends. Where do you think your leadership philosophy came from?
Leadership philosophy, as far as I'm concerned, doesn't come from a book. You don't read about it. You have to experience it. And I've been blessed to have folks mentor me, whether it was mm-hmm. someone at Moravian, Dr. McDermott, whether it was someone at Penn, whether it was someone in the Bethlehem Area School District, and even folks now in the Diocese of Allentown, whether they're officially my boss or whether they're friends, whether it's a fellow Knight of Columbus, whether it's a fellow member of the fourth degree in the Knights. You find mentors everywhere. Mm-hmm. And the more you volunteer, the more you meet these people, because if you only stay in your own little corner of the world, as Cinderella says, you're not going to meet these folks. So you have to put yourself out there and make yourself vulnerable. But then you also have to be willing to understand you don't know it all. You don't have all the answers. And you may pick pieces up here and there. And that's the main thing, is that you're always open to getting better, that you've never arrived. You're always getting better.
I love that. Emory, hearing Dr. Donaher talk about mentors that really shaped him, what about you? Is there somebody that you could share with us that has really served as a mentor to you?
Absolutely. I can give the compliment back to Dr. Donaher. Oh. Absolutely.
It's a love fest.
Yes, definitely. But seeing him with his humble vibe to him and how mm-hmm. he carries himself, that inspires me to be someone just mm-hmm. like him.
Do you have the chance to mentor younger students, or I know as a scholar athlete, you certainly on the field, but also in the classroom. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. If I've seen, you know, a younger student doing something who's mm-hmm. on my sports team, not doing what they're supposed to be doing, not in class, you know, you give them a little nudge in the right direction and show mm-hmm. them, you know, this is the way. And we all fall off that, you know, good path sometimes. So yep. Got to get them right back on track.
Yep, exactly. When you think about inspiration, your quiet confidence, your humility, you know, with all the successes you've already had, where does that inspiration come from?
My parents, mainly. I mean, to see what they've done, and they raised, you know, three great children. So what they've done for me, I'm very appreciative of what they've done for me.
Emory, continuing, one more question. Is there a tradition at Bethlehem Catholic that you will always remember?
Maybe lunch, probably. How about that?
Tell us why.
That's where the most memories are made right there. And being around the guys, you know, just taking a break from school for a minute and just talking with each other, that's really important to me. Mm-hmm. And we always have a great time at lunch. Even, you know, when we leave a mess sometimes. Sorry, right. Dr. Donaher. We always try to clean up after ourselves.
That's great. And I know we're almost to the end of the school year and you'll be graduating soon. Dean, when you think about the end of each school year, what do you feel most proud of?
I'm proud of the fact that the students that were there, especially when you've been with them for 3 or 4 years or longer, that you see them come in as wide-eyed freshmen, mm-hmm. that they grow, they get to be responsible yep. citizens that are going to go out and do great things in the world. You see how they've taken ownership and responsibility. That's the thing that, again, we all have blips along the way. Mm-hmm. Nobody's perfect. But to see students get better, to see them grow, to see them take on responsibility and then follow through, mm-hmm. to see them become the leaders that they do, such as Emory, that's the thing that I look at every year. And then you start the new year the very next day, and mm-hmm. you're looking at those incoming freshmen and saying, okay, this is the goal.
Here we go.
And then you have people all along the way, each grade level. Mm-hmm. They're a little closer, a little closer. And there are students that you see as freshmen, you just shake your head and you wonder, and then you see them as seniors and you say, wow.
Look what happened.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And that's a testament to our entire faculty, our staff. Mm-hmm. It's a testament to the other students that they all came together and they've all succeeded.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that. On this program, every month we talk about collaboration, my favorite word, because we can't do anything alone. You know that, again, as an athlete. Certainly you know that from all your work. Who are the others that make the Bethlehem Catholic experience so solid, so strong, so memorable?
Well, I mean, our board of directors, obviously, but mm-hmm. we also have so many benefactors, so many people that come, whether they're alumni, whether they're parents of alumni yeah. who come back, they go to our events, they go to whether it's a sporting event or a gala, they come, they contribute, they give their hard-earned money to see the school be successful. So there's just, it's a whole community.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just something that it warms your heart to see these folks mm-hmm. come together, because they know that our future is in the hands of our
yep.
youth.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're not going to pay attention to them and we're not going to give them every opportunity to be successful, then our society is going to be in deep trouble.
Yep.
And that's the thing that inspires me, because I see the youth. And yes, you see some in the newspaper, you see some bad, but 99% of them are doing the right thing. And if they're not, they're getting to doing the right thing. And, mm-hmm. and again, we're not all perfect. We all don't get it the first time.
Mm-hmm. Emory, some thoughts on what Dr. Donaher just shared?
Yeah, definitely. The alumni are a huge part of what we do here at Becca. You know, for football at least, watching how many coaches came back to support their high school and really teach the youth, that was important for me.
Mm-hmm.
Frankie Trovato, Joe Jay. So really important for that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's wonderful. Emory, when you think about Becca, I know someone whose son recently started there. He really found a place. He found a place that he didn't find in other schools. What is the magic? Why does that happen at Becca?
Well, like, what I always like to say is Becca's not just a school for me. It's not mm-hmm. just a high school. It's a second home. Yeah, I grew up there, started playing football there in kindergarten for the Flags, you know, met some of my best friends there. So for me, it's always been a second home, and it's a special place. It really is,
mm-hmm.
and it's what you make of it at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you can't just go to high school expecting for it to be fun.
Yep.
It's what you make of it.
Wow, well said. Anything to add to that?
I think the fact that it's a smaller school
mm-hmm.
provides kids yep. an opportunity. I'm always amazed at the people that say, well, I knew that person. They were a sophomore when I was a senior, or they were a freshman. And it's because they're in such close proximity
yep.
and they are on the same teams and they do work together. And that's a benefit that some parents and some students are looking mm-hmm. for, is that it's a smaller environment.
Emory, back to you. When you graduate, what do you want your legacy to be?
I want it to be remembered as a, you know, a kid who never said no to an opportunity,
mm-hmm.
never, you know, was startled from any big moment
mm-hmm.
in a way. You know, kind of like reading at Mass type of thing. You know, I don't want to reject that opportunity. I want to get my name out there as much as I can and really mm-hmm. be there for the Becca community.
What are you going to study at West Virginia?
Sports leadership. That's a major that they have there. Maybe get into coaching or maybe an athletic director position
mm-hmm.
down the road.
Well, listen, we've been best friends for about 30 minutes, and my money's on you. I'm
awesome.
Buying stock
awesome.
In Emory Overholzer,
like
that's
it.
For sure.
There you go.
Dean, what about you? Again, a wildly successful educator and just a wonderful leader in our community. What do you want your legacy to be?
Just someone that came in, did the best job they could, mm-hmm. that they were able to inspire some students. And we always say, if it's only one student, that's
mm-hmm.
what matters,
mm-hmm.
is just providing some leadership that kids can aspire to, so that, you know, maybe 30 years from now, Emory thinks back to Becca High and he has a great memory and he gives back to Becca and
mm-hmm.
he provides some support in whatever way he can. And in some small way, he, not to me personally, but that Bethlehem Catholic means something mm-hmm. to him, because it's not about the individual. It's about the organization.
Oh, gosh, well said. Thank you for that. So we're at the end of our time already. I know this goes so fast. How would you describe Bethlehem Catholic in one word? Emory.
Special.
Dean?
community.
Beautiful. And we can say those words together as well. So awesome. Great. We were joined by Dr. Dean Donaher, who's the principal at Bethlehem Catholic High School and a longtime community leader and great servant in our community, and Emery Oberholzer, who is a senior at BECA and will be headed off to West Virginia on a wonderful, well-deserved, I've learned here, scholarship, ROTC scholarship. Again, thanks so much to you both for being with us as we had this great conversation about Bethlehem Catholic High School. Right. Thank
thanks
you.
For having us.
Thank you, Laurie. Thank you.
And listeners, we get together once a month and we talk about collaboration and the importance of community service. So this was another great opportunity to do that. We look forward to seeing you next month on A Closer Look.